There's not been any pushback really on that. And what we see there is this is part of a wider Zionist intervention in Syria. It's been in the Times of Israel just the other day that the outgoing occupation forces chief has admitted supplying weapons to, I think, 12 separate anti-government, pro-NATO proxy forces in the Syrian conflict. And of course, we already knew from the famous Priti Patel visit to the Golan Heights, to the IDF field hospital, as it was called, the IOF field hospital, that they were patching up Nusra fighters and other anti-Assad fighters and sending them back to the conflict. So we know that this has been a full-scale involvement of the Zionists, along with the West and indeed with the Saudis and, of course, Qatar in that conflict. So that's an indication, really, of his role in regime change operations, just like the one that he's been involved in relation to Iran.
Mm. I mean, Gadi, I mean, did you think the information contained in these reports would change people's opinions in any way at all?
Well, unlike what would be expected, I don't think it would. Because if you're looking at, I think we had an example when Elon Musk came and did this tour with Benjamin Netanyahu. And I think the approach or the general view of Elon Musk is like a businessman selling his product.
Yeah.
So if his product is being used to kill us, our problem isn't with him, it's with the buyer. I don't know if I'm articulating it accurately, because we've seen, if they want to really be angry, the people in the region, angry at Elon Musk, they have to be angry at some states, some Arab states that are providing oil, gas, fuel and money and planes for the killers as well. So basically it's like they're buying his product, but they will not really hold him accountable. I don't think so.
Right. Well, David, I mean, just moving on then, I mean, what do you know about this character, Larry Ellison? Because he's pretty close, isn't he, to both Netanyahu and to Elon Musk?
Yes, and we've talked about Ellison before, this
yes,
company,
on the show, yeah,
Oracle,
yeah.
Which I'll mention again in a minute. But of course, I mean, it's worth remarking, isn't it, on the fact that he just had to hand $1 billion. Lying about that he could offer to Musk, lend to him so he could buy Twitter and turn it into X. And Ellison is, as the film shows, extremely close to Netanyahu, offered him a place on the board. And Oracle, as a tech firm, one of the biggest tech firms, has been involved in multi-million dollar and pound contracts, for example, in the UK with the Ministry of Defence. So much of the cloud computing support for the Ministry of Defence in the UK is provided by Oracle, a company which has, through Ellison and through the senior staff at Oracle, direct links to Israeli intelligence. So we have a real issue here, again, with those kinds of links and with this mate being with Larry Ellison. But at the same time, of course, Musk remains a contradictory character, even in the face of those kinds of links.
But Gadi, I mean, do you think then that Israel's found it easier or more difficult to deal with Musk than they did with the previous incumbents who controlled the Twitter platform?
Well, I'd say absolutely easier. Really? Musk is absolutely easier.
Right.
There's one person to deal with, and
sure,
you know where to twist their
yes,
arm.
Indeed.
And we obviously saw that in manifestation, like during the past 2 weeks. So I think Israel found Musk a way easier person to handle.
And David, I mean, what's the significance of Musk using Authentix, if I'm pronounced that correctly, for user verification? And why is that a problem?
Well, it means that you and I and Gary here, whenever we upload our data to become verified, have the blue tick.
But then again, aren't we giving that data with our phones and smartphones one way or the other to the same systems? That's my question to myself. WhatsApp.
We are, that's right.
Face identity. Super powerful tech companies are way smarter than that. I think they have all my information already.
They do. The problem with them having it, of course, is the links that there are between those companies and Israeli intelligence. So, you know,
us in Lebanon, everything gets to the Israelis.
That's right.
The
issue, it seems to me, is that this is not on the radar of the Western public. People don't know about this. And what we need to do is to, as you say, to push back against this in Lebanon, in the UK, in the US and elsewhere, wherever it's happening, because this is a perennial problem which we we have to deal with in addition to the more obvious manifestations of
it. It's very unfortunate that they have normalized it for us. You know, it has been normalized in our brains that we are basically shared. All our data is shared one way or the other with the Israelis, whether it's
But through shows like ours, we can raise people's awareness, a consciousness of
Hopefully,
you know about
it's
the
never normalized.
About the downside. No, indeed. Well, we need to obviously be pushing back against that. But God, let me just move back and on a little bit and just ask you, what do you think that the current wars will become a regional conflagration, or indeed, do you think it already is?
Of course. Thank you for the added part of the question. Well, this war in the region is 75 years old.
Yes.
Whether they say it is there or not, I haven't witnessed any day in my life where there hasn't been something done to my people. In Syria, in Lebanon, in Palestine, in Iraq, in Yemen. So when is it war and when is it peace? People are dying every day. Aren't they precious to their parents, to their futures? Don't they have aspirations? So no, we have been in war because there is an apartheid ethno-state armed with billion-dollar-funded weaponry, and it is killing and trying to kill each and every person from the indigenous peoples that are here. So the war is regional because even before October 7, there wasn't any week without tit-for-tat attacks between the Axis of Resistance and the Israelis, whether it's in the sea or in Syria or in Iraq, Iraqi-Syrian borders, or Lebanon. I mean, in Lebanon, maybe it's semi-daily that we have Israeli planes in our... I hear them almost daily. And we wonder when will they, like, attack us, because they openly say they want to. Yeah. They openly say next is Beirut after Gaza. So the war... We have been living it, but the war hasn't been globally, outrageously displayed. We haven't been living a televised genocide, before. So when we say, is it going to spill to the region? I say the United States of America is involved in this war. It is already global, sir.
Yeah, absolutely.
It is already global.
Yeah. I mean, and the billion-dollar question that I mentioned at the beginning of the show is, will Elon Musk then... succumb to that pressure? I mean, whether perhaps get both of your thoughts on that. What do you think, Gadi?
I think Elon Musk is a businessman.
Yeah.
And he's going to put his mouth where the money is.
Mm.
And I think we are giving him... I know tech is really involved in this new era in the warfare. I know AI is being used to kill us and to kill our children. Mm. And thank you for exposing that and working on that. But in the end of the day, I would regard him, in the worst case scenario, just like the big moguls that sell weapons or sell pharma or like these decision makers. It's a blend of these. I wouldn't take Elon Musk out of that herd of people who are making money out of war.
Yeah. What do you think to the billion-dollar question?
I think that's right. I mean, I think the only curious thing about Elon Musk is that he has these kind of weird ideas about freedom of speech, which do seem to make a difference to how he runs the company, you know, in contrast with how Twitter was before, where they were simply stuffed with Zionists at the top of the company, where they asked only Zionists to judge who should be on it and who shouldn't. Yeah. So that's the one distinction I would make.
Sure. Well... unfortunately, we're going to have to leave it there because that's it for another show as we're out of time again. I'd like to thank our guest, Gadi Francis, and, of course, our resident expert, Professor David Miller. Palestine Declassified will be back next week with more forensic investigations and analysis. So until next time, this is Chris Williamson saying bye for now.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجه السلام عليكم Dear listeners of IRB English Radio, brothers and sisters, welcome to Let's Recite the Quranic Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. I'm really happy that I have Hussein Akbari here, Brother Ali Nasir, and Hassan Nasrullah. I really welcome you all. Welcome everyone. Salam, Hussein, how are you?
I'm fine.
Alhamdulillah. How about you, Ali Nasir?
Alhamdulillah, sir. Great.
Alhamdulillah. And Hassan?
Alhamdulillah, sir. How are you?
Ready, everyone, to go and start our class? Yes?
Yes.
Okay. Let's go. Inshallah, today we will be talking about Ayah 104 and 105 in Surah Al-An'am on page 141. MashaAllah. So, brothers and sisters, turn to page 141, Surah Al-An'am, Ayah 104 and 105. Let's listen to the recitation first.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Qad ja'akum بَصَائِرُ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ فَمَنْ أَبْصَرَ فَلِنَفْسِهِ وَمَنْ عَمِيَ فَعَلَيْهَا وَمَا أَنَا عَلَيْكُمْ بِحَفِيظٍ وَكَذَلِكَ نُصَرِّفُ الْآيَاتِ وَلِيَقُولُوا دَرَسْتَ وَلِنُبَيِّنَهُ لِقَوْمٍ يَعْلَمُونَ
Nice recitation, mashallah, mashallah. Let's see what Allah Almighty says first, and then we'll move on to the tajweed rules as well. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قَدْ جَاءَكُمْ بَصَائِرُ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ Say, O Prophet, to them, to the people, certainly insights have come to you from your Lord. Insights have come to you from your Lord. Clear and kind of, you can say clear reasons, clear signs, okay? Have come to you from your Lord, O people, okay?
Yes.
So, فَمَنْ أَبْصَارَ فَلِنَفْسِهِ So, whoever sees the signs, the insights, and understands it, it is to the benefit of his own soul. It's the benefit of himself. وَمَنْ عَمَى فَعَلَيْهَا And whoever remains blind, وَمَنْ عَمَى Whoever remains blind and does not see the signs, even sometimes he sees but does not accept the signs, it is to his detriment or for his own disadvantage or bad future.
Yes.
وَمَا أَنَا عَلَيْكُمْ بِحَفِيظٍ وَمَا أَنَا عَلَيْكُمْ بِحَفِيظٍ And I am not a keeper over you. I'm not in charge of that, okay? In charge of those who go astray, those who do not accept the words of Allah. In the next ayah, Allah says, وَكَذَلِكَ نُصَرِّفُ الْآيَاتِ Thus do we paraphrase the signs variously. It means we bring clear signs and evidences in different ways to help you understand, guys, okay? To help you understand, oh people, okay?
وَلِيَقُولُ دَرَسْتَ وَلِنُبَيِّنَهُ لِقَوْمٍ يَعْلَمُونَ
Lest they should say, they say also, okay, you have received instructions, and so that we may make it clear for a people who have knowledge. In these two verses, Allah Almighty wants to clearly
kind of, what do you say? Say that his last words, okay? Finalize his words. In the previous verses, you know that Allah Almighty explained a lot about Tawheed, about himself. He taught us a lot of things, yes? Yeah?
Yes.
وَهُوَ اللَّطِيفُ الْخَبِيرُ لَا تُدْرِكُ الْأَبْصَارُ وَهُوَ يُدْرِكُ الْأَبْصَارُ Also, like, خَالِقُ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ huh? فَعْبُدُوهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ بَدِيعُ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ Allah Almighty explained, brought clear and clear evidences for us to understand God. Now, not only this, Quran, the whole Quran, okay? The miracles that the Prophet had. And most importantly, the wisdom that we have, the wisdom that people have. So these all can help us understand the reality, the truth. You just need to ask yourself a question. Where did you come from? And where will you go? Where will you end up? And why? And how? You just need to ask yourself questions. And when you ask yourself questions, you need to go for the answer. When you go for the answer, you'll find Allah Almighty. So clear evidences are there. The system in the universe, the discipline, the harmony in the universe, it shows like there is a knowledgeable, a wise God behind, okay? Behind the creation. It can't be, it's impossible to have this beautiful creation without a creator. So these are clear evidences. Now Allah Almighty wants to finalize and says the last words, okay? That, okay, now, قَدْ جَاءَكُمْ بَصَائِرٌ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ O Prophet, say to the people, certainly insights, clear evidences have come to you from your Lord. So, now, what do you do, okay? Well, you accept, you believe, or you accept, okay?
Yes.
And if you do so, it is to the benefit of you. Okay, anybody who accepts, it's the benefit for the benefit of himself.
Yes.
And we got other groups. Okay, those who don't accept, those who refuse, those who don't understand these things. Sometimes they understand, but they don't accept. Maybe it might be because of their evil desires that they have. Okay, they might not accept the words of Allah Almighty. That's why Allah Almighty says, "It's over. Okay, you're done if you don't accept." Then there is no excuse. In the day of judgment, there will be no excuse, okay? وَمَا أَنَا عَلَيْكُمْ بِحَفِيظٍ O Prophet, say that I'm not in charge of this. I'm not keeper of you, okay? Like, should control you. Hey, should stay mu'min. I should always a warder. The one who is in charge of the prisons, okay? Be careful, not anybody should not go out, okay? I'm not like that. So guys, refer to the Tafasir books, inshallah, to learn more about these two verses.
Qur'ani fi qalbi dawman yaghmurni min fayzi diya ayatul mawla
IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Xavier International Schools presents
wal kawnu al wasi'u fi sadri ahdhuluhu ardan
Let's recite the Quran.
We'll move on to the recitation and the tajweed. Okay, Hussein?
Okay.
Let's recite a salawat, everyone. Loud salawat. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil farajahum. If anybody was sleeping, he or she must have woken up now.
Yes.
So, قَدْ جَاءَكُمْ Ali Nasir, could you read this?
Yes.
As Ali Nasir is reading, we'll explain the tajweed rules.
أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ قَدْ جَاءَكُمْ بَصَائِرٌ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ
All right. قَدْ جاءكم بصائر من ربكم So, قد What rule is applied here? قد
قلقلة
قلقلة Good job قلقلة قلقلة Actually, قلقلة means an echoing sound You jump Like an echo Comes up Yes? Jumps a little قَدْ جَاءَ قَدْ قَدْ It jumps. Yes?
Yes. قَدْ
jumps. So you read it that way. Whenever these five letters appear sucking, you should read them with an echoing sound. Okay, what are the letters? Can you say? قُطْبِ جَدْ letters? قَاف
قَاف
طَا
طَا
بَا
بَا دَال
and جِيم. So these five letters.
Yes.
قَاف طَا بَا جِيم and دَال. Yes, Hassan?
Yes.
Whenever they appear sucking, we should read them with an
bouncing sound.
Bouncing sound or an echoing sound. Good job. جَاءَكُمْ The mad is wajib. Why, Hassan?
Because the hamza and the mad is in the same letter.
All right. In the same word, you mean?
Yes.
The alif and the hamza, well, they're in the same word. Good job. بَصَائِرُ Okay. قَدْ جَاءَكُمْ Mim sakin. After mim sakin, you have ba. The rule ikhfa. Ikhfa of ba. Ikhfa of mim, sorry. You hide the sound of mim.
Yes.
How do you read it?
جَاءَكُمْ بَصَائِرُ
أحسن. قَدْ جَاءَكُمْ بَصَائِرُ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ بَصَائِرُ صَا has a mud. Yeah. Also heavy sound. Extend the sound. The mud is watching. Okay. مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ How do you read it? مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ
مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ
أحسن. مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ You merge the sound. Good job. Sila, the same as the way we said, okay, Hassan explained it in the previous session. Hassan, tell us once again, what does that Sila tell us?
The Sila tell us that it's better to stop here, but still you can continue.
Mm-mm. Better to?
Better,
it's just the opposite of Qila. He said Qila. Qila says, better to stop, but you can continue. Yes. Sila says, better to?
Continue.
Continue here.
Yes.
Can stop. So this way. قَدْ جَاءَكُمْ بَصَائِرُ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ فَمَنْ أَبْصَرَ فَلِنَفْسِهِ And also you can continue from there. But you can stop as well.
Yes.
Thank you, Hassan. فَمَنْ أَبْصَرَ أَبْصَرَ again, echoing sound. Read it. Hayri Nasir.
فَمَنْ أَبْصَرَ فَلِنَفْسِهِ
أحسن. فَمَنْ أَبْصَرَ فَلِنَفْسِهِ If you continue reading this, فَلِنَفْسِهِ وَمَنْ عَمَى فَعَلَيْهَا Jim says, Hassan?
Jim says that it's optional to stop or to continue.
Or to continue, good job. So, continue, Ali Nasir. فَمَنْ أَبْصَرَ Read up to وَمَا أَنَا عَلَيْكُمْ بِحَفِيظٍ Till the end, then I'll explain.
فَمَنْ أَبْصَرَ فَلِنَفْسِهِ وَمَنْ عَمِيَ فَعَلَيْهَا
Alright, I think I was reading it عَمَى, okay? I didn't see the fatha, sorry for that. عَمِيَ, the way Ali Nasir reads, mashallah. وَمَنْ عَمِيَ فَعَلَيْهَا So, وَمَا أَنَا عَلَيْكُمْ
بِحَفِيظ
So, عَلَيْكُمْ ends with ميم ساكن بِحَفِيظ starts with ba. ميم ساكن plus ba. You should hide the sound. وَمَا أَنَا عَلَيْكُمْ بِحَفِيظُ Heavy sound. Okay. Read the next ayah.
وَكَذَلِكَ نُصَرِّفُ الْآيَاتِ وَلِيَقُولُوا دَرَسْتَ وَلِنُبَيِّنَهُ لِقَوْمٍ يَعْلَمُونَ
أحسنتم. There is no difficult rule, only... لِقَوْمٍ يَعْلَمُونَ You read it? لِقَوْمٍ يَعْلَمُونَ Merge the sound. Good job. So these are the easy rules that you need to pay attention. I will be reciting, inshallah. Make sure you listen and repeat. Dear listeners, do so the same as our brothers here. Ready?
Yes.
Ali Nasir, ready?
Yeah.
أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
قد جاءكم بصائر من ربكم
قد جاءكم
لكم بصائر من ربكم
فمن أبصر فلنفسه
فمن أبصر فلنفسه
ومن عمي فعليها
ومن عمي فعليها
وما أنا عليكم بحفيظ
وما أنا عليكم بحفيظ
أحسن وكذلك نصرف الآيات وليقولوا درست ولنبينه
وكذلك نصرف الآيات وليقولوا درست
ولنبينه لقوم يعلمون
ولنبينه لقوم يعلمون
صدق الله العلي العظيم
صدق الله العلي العظيم
أحسن سم الله بليسي إن شاء الله Thank you so much Brothers and sisters, dear listeners Thank you so much for being with us Allah bless you Stay with IRB English Radio Thank you Hassan Thank you Ali Nasir and Hussein See you inshallah in the coming session. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa alihi al-tahirin.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil farajahu.
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن
Option for today and a better tomorrow. IRIB English Radio. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en.
A recent survey conducted by the Joseph Rowntree Foundation found 5.7 million low-income households in the United Kingdom lacking enough money for food, which it called a horrendous new normal. We take a look at some of the World Press and Media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. Thank you. The British newspaper The Guardian has covered this story and tells us more. According to a new report, British households' food bills have been driven up by more than £600 over the past 2 years by the global climate emergency and soaring energy prices, warning of further increases to come in 2024. Sounding the alarm over the impact from increasing extreme weather patterns for food production, the Energy and Climate Intelligence Unit think tank said that global heating was directly contributing to the cost of living crisis. According to the analysis carried out by researchers from the universities of Bournemouth, Exeter and Sheffield, more extreme or unseasonal weather accounted for one-third of all food price inflation in the United Kingdom this year. Combined with the impact of soaring energy prices after the Russia-Ukraine war drove up gas, energy and fertilizer prices, it said British households had been hit by £605 in additional food costs in 2022 and 2023. While energy prices have fallen back this year, it warned that the impact from the climate emergency was actually increasing. Tom Lancaster, land analyst at the Energy and Climate Intelligence Unit, said, "Climate change is playing havoc with global food production, and this is inevitably feeding through to higher prices at the tills. Across 2022 and 2023, the climate emergency alone added the equivalent of 6 weekly shops to the average household food bill." According to the analysis, the cost of the climate crisis rose from £171 in 2022 to £192 in 2023, more than offsetting the effects of falling energy prices this year and having a greater impact than rising energy bills. Official figures show inflation in food and drink prices peaked at an annual rate of almost 20% earlier this year, the highest level since the 1970s. Amid disruption to food supplies from weather events and soaring energy costs for producers. Food price inflation has fallen back in recent months but remains at historical highs of close to 10%. Prices are also still near record highs after recent storms, including Storm Babe, flooded swathes of farmland, hitting UK potato and vegetable harvests in the run-up to Christmas. In 2022, drought hit production of basic foodstuffs such as potatoes and onions in the United Kingdom, followed by an unusually wet harvest in 2023 and then the hottest September on record. It comes after heat waves across the Mediterranean, India and South America this year all had a major impact on food production and food prices. Staples, including sugar, rice and tomatoes, were affected by extreme weather, such as droughts in India, while olive oil rose in price by 50% after 2 years of drought and heat waves in Spain and other major exporters in southern Europe. The situation could be worse next year, while the El Niño weather system leading possibly to more severe weather and further increases in food prices. Professor Wynne Morgan of Sheffield University, one of the report's authors, said, "Given we expect climate impacts to get worse, it is likely that climate change will continue to fuel a cost-of-living crisis for the foreseeable future." Anna Taylor, the executive director at the Food Foundation, said the government needed to think more seriously how households can become more resilient to price volatility in the light of the likely impact of the climate crisis. Anna Taylor called on the government to revive its plans for a horticulture strategy that would build production of fruit and vegetables in the United Kingdom and reduce reliance on crops grown in southern Europe, which is becoming increasingly vulnerable to drought and extreme heat as a result of the climate crisis. A separate report from the Food Foundation warned that retailers and hospitality venues in Britain were failing to create a food environment where healthy choices are affordable, readily available and appealing. It found healthy food was already twice as expensive as unhealthy food per calorie, while the cost of sustainable alternatives to meat and dairy can also be high. According to the report, most main meals offered by many pub chains regularly exceed 50% of the recommended daily intake for calories, saturated fat, salt and sugar. Meanwhile, just 1% of food advertising spent goes towards fruit and vegetables, compared with 9% on meat and dairy products, while 21.5% of buy one, get one free deals are on meat and dairy, compared with just 4.5% on fruit and vegetables. Lancaster said the dependence of Britain's current farming system on volatile oil, gas, fertilizer prices has created a perfect storm of extreme weather, high gas prices and global instability to food price inflation. Lancaster added, the important news is that steps to make farming more sustainable cannot only cut emissions but also make our food production more resilient to the extremes of flooding and drought. The British government plans in England to support greener farming with more hedge growth, improved soil health and tree planting schemes are therefore vital to our future food security. Euronews has also covered the same story and tells us more. A recent survey found rising prices have pushed almost one-third of Europeans into a precarious financial situation. The second European barometer on poverty and precariousness examined Europeans' ability to make purchases and found that it had declined over the past 3 years, forcing a majority of them to skip meals and resort to making difficult financial choices. Of the 10,000 people surveyed by Ipsos for French Secours Populaire, 29% said their financial situation was precarious and any unexpected expenses would make their balance tip. Nearly one in two Europeans think that they face a high risk of falling into a precarious situation in the next few months, succumbing to rising prices and relatively stagnant pay. According to Eurostat, the 2021 at-risk of poverty rate for the total population of the European Union stood at 17%. Only 15% said they were confident and did not feel the need to pay attention to their everyday expenses. According to the survey results, a vast majority of Europeans have already had to compromise on their choices due to difficult financial conditions. Rampant inflation in almost every sector forced these complicated choices, which include skipping a meal despite being hungry. Almost one in three Europeans said they have skipped a meal when hungry, with Greece and Moldova having particularly high numbers.
Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. A very warm welcome to yet another episode of Islamic Upbringing. In this program, we answer the queries, questions you have regarding the Islamic upbringing of your children. Well, today in our studio, we have with us very talented expert. She is Sister Salma Khalafan, and the more I talk about her, it is less indeed. Well, she's an expert in Islamic upbringing, and today we have had this pleasure to invite her. And we're going to discuss some of the very important issues, especially regarding the teenagers, with her today. Assalamu alaikum, ma'am.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
A very warm welcome.
Thank you so much.
Well, sister, we have a question from a teenager who comes from a religious family, but he is very fond of a friend who is corrupt. And now his question is, what should he be doing?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Okay, sometimes it happens so that, two people get into relationship or friendship in such a way that you can't let go then. So this teenager says that his friend is corrupt, but he himself comes from a religious family, meaning that he practices his religion nicely, right? What he should do is that first he should use his love towards his friend as a means of advising his friend. You see, in Islam we have this beautiful concept of wilayat. That means if you want to win the love of Allah, you guide others as well. And the one umbrella to achieve that unity. So you want, and that's why Amr bil Maruf and Nahi al Munkar is there to
join people towards for good
so
and
that you want everyone to move together.
Okay.
You know, Yadullah ma'al jama'a. Allah's hand is with the whole mankind, the whole humanity. Allah wants everyone to be guided, not only yourself as a person. So he should use, and love is a very crucial element in guiding others. When you go as a muballigh, first when you win over the people, that's when they listen to you.
Okay.
But if you just go with strict rules, however much you can do, as in you have an oratory power, or you can, for example, you have a lot of education or high words that you have to say, but still people would, you know, respect that so much as when they become attracted to you through love. So this is an element that will easily make a person listen to you. So I'm advising the teenager that use this as a tool to advise your friend. Like in Surah Al-Hamd, we say, Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. Guide us to the right path, not only myself.
We use a plural.
So now you are practicing that ayah.
Yeah.
And there's a beautiful hadith, the prophetic tradition that says, guiding one person is better than the worldly life and all that it contains.
Wow.
Everything that contains, that much sawab there is. And also another ayat of the Holy Quran that says, فَمَنْ أَحْيَاهَا فَكَأَحْيَا النَّاسْ جَمِيعًا. That you never know with guiding that person, if he's rightly guided, it's like you've guided the whole nation. A person is like a nation, you know?
Yeah.
You can do so much. So I should tell the teenager that don't forget that love is good when it reaps goodness. But
okay.
It's useless otherwise.
Okay.
It has to reap goodness. And when it's a means of deviation, that means it transfers bad morals to each other. So love can be a means of deviation also, when it transfers the bad morals. So, unfortunately, if this teenager shies off or doesn't want to play his role, he will get the bad moral characteristics of the teenager, the friend.
Yeah.
So before, you know, that happens and that pounces upon him, he should be clever enough to guide that this is friend because he really loves him. So the effects should also come out. And of course, when we see a rational person is one who thinks of the outcome of things and considers the actual situation, like what is important and what is more important. Important is my love for my friend. I'll stick by it. But what is more important is that he should not change me, right? I should change him.
Yeah.
So the teenager has to reflect and know about these things.
Yeah,
you know, that he should not come under the trap of shaitan.
Exactly. Well, sister, we'll discuss more with you on that interesting topic after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned.
This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Contact us at EnglishRadio@irib.ir.
We Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Islamic Upbringing, and we have Sister Salma Khalfan today with us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Furqan, verse number 28, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Ya waylati laytani lam attakhiz fulanan khalila. Woe to me, I wish I had never taken so and so as my close friend. So, sister, you know, in this verse, Allah is trying to warn us, wake up us, that on that day you will be saying, woe to me, I don't know why I took that particular person as my particular khalil, my friend. So why do we continue making friends while we know that it can have an impact which can change my life in that world tomorrow? So you are helping us understand what to be doing.
Yeah. Another thing that I would find useful in educating this teenager is to practice what he preaches. If he does that, the effect will be very strong. For example, if he tells the friend, for example, that, you know, don't use this kind of language, or respect your elders, or try to not call your mother in a very bad way. You know, like some people, they have such a loose tongue that they call their parents or the old man or the old woman without any respect. So if you practice what you preach, and if your friend finds you in such situations, then it will have a very strong impact.
Okay.
So always this person who is advising the friend should practice whatever he preaches and then advise him.
It's been throughout the upbringing process, throughout training someone.
Yeah.
What a common point we have been learning here is that you got to be acting on what you're preaching.
Yes. And that's only when it will have an effect. And the third thing that I would advise the teenager is that take this a friend of his to places where he would be exposed to spirituality. Like, for example, take him to the mosque, or make him listen to Quran, let them listen to Quran together, and discuss some few verses, even if it's one verse, something very important, because Quran is something like, it kind of plays a very great role in your mind and your heart. So sometimes, even sometimes one who has the least of faith, when listens to Quran, might cry because they're revolved inside. So if you have such a good friend, like you are such a practicing friend, you want that friend to change. So of course you'll invite them towards these good kind of qualities, right? Reading Quran, reading dua together.
And okay.
And then also reflecting on Allah's favors than on the person. Trying to remind them that, you know, for example, all these ni'mats that we have, if we didn't have them, how would it be? Discussing this kind of talk, you know, to with a...
Have a spiritual discussion.
Have a spiritual discussion in a way that, not to make it sound very spiritual.
Okay.
So that the teenage friend, you know, who is not so...
Gets bored.
And then take him to places with excitement. Make it sound exciting so that, the you know, like normally people think that such places are boring. But make it sound exciting. For example, if it's an occasion, make things be very interesting for him to listen to or to, like, involve himself in. You know, like charity works, things like making people happy. How to do that often, like, for example... You make him even go to places where there are good banquets offered, for example, good food offered, so that he can be attracted, firstly, to these kind of things. So that when that attraction will come, then of course...
Other things will come automatically.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Sister, I'll discuss more with you after a short break. Now, listeners, stay tuned.
The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Raise your children to have three features: love for your Prophet, love for his household, and reciting the Quran."
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Islamic Upbringing. We have Sister Salma Khalfan with us, and we are talking
about a friend who is fond of a friend who himself comes from a religious family but likes a friend who is kind of corrupt, and sister is helping us how to be dealing with such kind of friends. Yes, sister.
Yes, last but not least, I would say that take it one step at a time. Don't expect that he should overnight change himself. You know? Or if he's, for example, disregarding all the things that are his duties that Allah has kept for him, but he practices only one of them, encourage him in that one that he's doing. Don't expect that he should overnight change and do everything. Okay?
Yeah.
Start with the easy for him.
Right.
For example, if he's disrespecting his parents, or he's, for example, has a bad eye to look at, you know, like people who are, you know, the if it's a boy, maybe looking at girls or something. Try to just work on one aspect first.
Not, you should not be expecting all change at a certain time.
At a certain, yeah, at one day.
At a particular
yeah.
time.
Slow but sure. And you know, this is actually hidayat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah loves it when a person acts on one thing, that he increases their capacity to act on other things. He's happy with them.
Right.
So he makes the flow of hidayat go on. Like if he's praying nicely, promptly on time, then Allah will instigate him to pray the right prayer also. Or if he's, for example, the girl is reading Quran, you know, like every day, Allah will put that hidayat on her to even do hifz of Quran. You know, these kind of things, they come with the flow of, that's Allah who's guiding. It's only Allah who can guide.
Yeah.
So you have to do your part, as it's saying, one step at a time, encouraging them. Then you see, automatically he'll accept the others as they come on. And Allah will make him do the rest easier than right. the first step taken. But you need to push that first step.
And what you have been guiding us throughout the session is that when this friend is guiding the other one, he should be taking into consideration the tone he's using. It should not be very boring. It should not
yeah.
be sounding so spiritual that the one yeah. who is already corrupt and is not much into religion
yeah.
starts getting bored and does not accept whatever is coming. And what is to be kept into consideration by this teenager over here is that not to work on all aspects at a particular time.
Yes, it won't
Things
go.
Do not change yeah. overnight. It needs efforts.
Yeah.
And when he starts one step, and Allah will be with him.
Yes.
We'll Thank you.
10 steps ahead.
Yeah. Thank you so much, sister, for being with us. Thank you so much, dear listeners. You were listening to IRIB English Radio. If you have any queries, you can feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. You can also listen to our programs again. Go back to our official website, which is www.parstoday.ir/en. You can go to the tab Call of Islam, COI, and find out an archive of our programs there. Also, look for us in the social media platforms by just searching Call of Islam Radio. Until another session, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran, for big and small. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way.
This is the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. Shortwave, 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz for the Indian subcontinent. And FM, 91.5 megahertz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAD 5 and Intelsat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.